Grace and peace to the saints of God through Jesus Christ. It's unraveling nicely. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. And ain't that true today? The better angels of our nature seem to have abandoned the scene. And now, by the will of God, at this time in history, the world and our sanctums are unraveling like a cheap dollar store rug. Presently, there are more threads than rug, and more unraveling to come. I'd like to share some thoughts with those of you possessed of the nature of Jesus Christ, if you would indulge me. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The heavens rejoice, saints. The devil has relocated, saints, as if we hadn't figured it out. The size of the wave of intense insanity crashing upon the world is staggering. The inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, its creation, are under a new order which cannot be matched by the earthly rulers and their riches, wiles, and devices. Listen closely. Lend your ear. Creation groans. Can't you hear it? Can't you hear it in your spirit? When, in time, the usurper came down to us is not important, although there are many experts who would offer their gray wisdom regarding this. The enemy, he's busy. The enemy's busy. His legions are busy. The saints know just where the real fight is, though, and that's what counts. He knows he has but a short time. Does it matter how long this time runs? But again, our experts would have a thing or two to say regarding the timeline and menu of this reign of terror. Utilitarian Christianity at its best, I'd say. Brings in the cash. Lots of fame and money to be made in sensationalizing fairy tales and merchandising guilt and using God's word in such a despicable, detestable way. So excuse me, folks, but I don't set my watch by anything I hear from our experts out there. This maniacal reign of terror can last longer than most wish to imagine. Since the Apostle John spoke the words, "We are in the last times," it's been a tad over 2,000 years. I don't know about you, but I have today, and today only. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us that we live and are focused in the now, not yesterday or tomorrow. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Dwell on that verse. You know, throughout history, history is history. What do we got? We got now. The world has got now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, now. That's a heavy verse. That's a heavy line. The only future we should focus on is not one of this world, but the eternity with Christ. Thus, the hope of salvation for our souls in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. This also know, that in the last days perilous or savage times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:1. We know the usurper reigns on the earth, and his principles and powers are enjoying many of the creature pleasures this world has to offer, especially death. Society has become a self-worshipping death cult, and we human beings are being closed in upon by a force so evil, an agenda so diabolical, as to cause insanity and despair to a degree we have not ever seen. Ever. Even in the most subtle ways, tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be, is being manifest upon the 99%ers, as in the spiking degrees of deception and want and hate and suffering and despair and hopelessness and... The shadowy architects of the new world are a bloodline unto themselves, spanning the centuries since Cain slew Abel. These would make up the ungodly of 1 Peter 4, that's for sure. However, the elite few rulers of this demonic physical domain will never achieve their place in the high, dark principality which rules them. Alas, they're but human puppets in the end. They are expendable assets, if you please. And sadly, I watch spiritually blind, well-meaning human beings vainly attempt to shed light upon the conspiracies and the persons and organizations and governments which are but clay in the hands of the usurper and his empire builders. Yeah, blind. Blind? Yeah, blind. Blind and hungry and savage. For who and what can change the course set by Father? Who can make straight that which God has made crooked? The emphasis is now and always has been upon the righteous, the called out ones, and those of us who may slip into sin, to be precise. Not righteousness as of the Pharisees of Christianity, but righteousness by the faith of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. An accounting of righteousness which can only be given by the Father of the Lamb himself, by the gift of faith which Father has freely given to his chosen few, Matthew 22:14. Are we cool with that so far? And with that, the emphasis of our lives falls above the din of the catastrophes and conspiracies we now suffer through. The emphasis falls above the trouble and the tumult, above the glowering clouds of hate and insane savagery and death. Things of this world should not be what we covet over a relationship with our Father. And these things should not be allowed to have influence over us to any degree. Especially now. No, friends, the called out ones reside in the refuge in their God. And that's a bunker made not with hands. And the way I read it, God had prepared the world outside the Garden of Eden to curse and harass Adam and Eve and their descendants for their sin. From toxic plants, diseases, bugs, beasts, floods, fires, droughts, etc., the earth was designed to kill man, not to willingly support him in his short-lived pride of life. After the garden, man became a creature which could not be trusted, and no matter who dodged the bullets of plague or the ravages of nature or the covetous murdering hands of their so-called neighbors, they did indeed eventually die and return to the dust. Did they really have control over their perishing world? Did their prosperity really matter in the end? Did their mirth in the midst of the waiting death all around them alter the fact that they would sooner or later die? Did they ever give God glory for even keeping them alive to suffer? I doubt it. God provided prosperity to a people who obeyed and loved him. That was the food, clothing, and shelter thing, you know, great harvests, relative peace, if you want to call it that, until somebody else invaded them, you know, in the old days, in the old nation of Israel. This was indeed a demonstration of his election and his love. He formed that people unto himself, a physical nation, which was a type and shadow of the spiritual nation to come by way of his Lamb and Savior, Jesus Christ. There ain't no nation now. That thing out there in the Middle East? Jesus calls it Sodom and Egypt. When God's earthly nation disobeyed, rebelled, or forgot him, they suffered as bad or worse than the dying, cursed world around them. Yeah, that's true. Isn't that the case today with his spiritual nation? Do his sheep stray, or do they stay? Knowing the end does not change a thing for the enemy of our souls, nor does it change a thing in the hearts and minds of the puppet thrones which are animated by the spirit of their father, the liar and murderer from the beginning. It will not stop until Father stops it. It will not change. No worldly force for good or ridiculous imprecations will ever change it or halt its spread. It will continue waxing worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13, until a power greater than man will stop it. Lust has conceived, it has brought forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, James 1:15. Huh. Didn't know that was in my Bible either. Yeah, well, you don't read enough. You don't pray enough either. And it's this lust to broker change which the saints of God must also crucify. We're not saviors. We're sheep, little children. Our Savior did not broker one small change in his world when he walked upon it. He was rejected. Why do we think that the world should get along with those of Christ? They know our spirits, friends. Our work is crucifying the vanity and lust of this present life. Our work is to trust in the provision of our God. It is coupled with the struggle to become separated from the disastrous distractions of this life, which the true followers of Jesus Christ combat on a daily and, I dare say, momentary basis. It is fraught with suffering because of withdrawal from the world, and it is suffering the wrath of the world at the same time. The meek inherit the earth. The poor in spirit receive the kingdom. The merciful obtain mercy. Lowly traits receive blessing from God, and these traits are godly, not worldly. The world sees these traits as being weak. But they're great in God's kingdom. But they're just not enough sometimes, are they, saints? We treat the words of Jesus Christ like the words of a politician. We hear them, we repeat them, but we don't believe them. Wickedness has gone to a full flower in this dark age of enlightenment and knowledge. It is peace and safety, and it is certain death. It is love and prosperity, and it is hate and want. It is salvation, and it is bondage. It is double-mindedness. Is double-mindedness the two-headed ruler of our lives? That's an especially distasteful occupant in a believer's house. And one can only ride a tiger for so long. Once we controlled our little worlds, and we embraced our vanities, we lived our fantasies, we filled our bellies with the dainties of our physical world. Now, in despair, we fall prisoners to the emptiness which has been wrought upon us by our faith in the lie of this world, its power, its wealth, its chariots, its false hope. We suffer in the world in which we live. The ecclesia suffer the consequences of withdrawal from the world and separation to God. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Proverbs 38. Jesus spoke of the meek, humble, and poor as being blessed. in Matthew 5, and we consider the vanities of this life as blessed? Who's the liar here? It certainly isn't Jesus. Where are our treasures being laid up? In the garage, on the mantle, in the bank, in the bug-out location, or in heaven? The deceitfulness of riches. The threads of our security in the world are unraveling, and when it finally does unravel completely, will we still be standing over a chasm? A big hole in the ground? A little wind going up our skirts? The great storm which is breaking upon us all will have no mercy upon the rebellious sinners of the camp of God and will give them no quarter unless they repent. Only those who have humbly and willingly grounded themselves upon the rock which is Jesus Christ will stand. They have not put their trust in that which rusts or burns up or is stolen, decays, or frays. The murderer is always gunning for your souls and your lives, saints. He smells the blood of Christ upon you, but he will never wash away its power. Neither shall any man or devil pluck us out of Christ's hand if we belong to Father through his Christ. We are at war. Humanity is at war. Christ's own have been at war since the cross. Yes, spiritual war. It's getting worse with every passing day. The ecclesia are under strong attacks. And the test of their patience is fully underway. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14:12. You one of them? You don't make yourself a saint. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ makes you a saint and draws you to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. Were you called? Examine yourselves. Oh, that's Bible too. Don't you just hate the fortune cookie line, "May you live in exciting times"? It is exciting from a spiritual perspective. Exciting, dangerous, glorious. Yes, we're called to God through Jesus Christ. Yes, and we counted the cost. Yes, and we entered in at a straight gate. Yes, and we walk a very narrow way. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And yes, I pray that the way may have gotten a little narrower for you. Don't forget who you are, and don't forget who you aren't. The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you, my brethren in Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You get them shields of faith up, get them up high. You keep to the road with Jesus. And I'll see you again if God is willing and the cricks don't rise.